That's the mobile, but while we were starting work on the entrance was just over there. And that back end was the kitchen.
Yes, you're sitting in the kitchen at the back, back is there now.
And that's a picture of the...
This is in here?
No.
Yeah, some of the work.
93. Not 93 years ago, it's 93 years. There's the workers. Yeah. Some of them. That's it.
Yeah, that was the start,
yeah. Is
that alright? Anyway, I said good morning. I was going to give a testimony of my own testimony and then a testimony of the buildings of the land. I'm a bit out of my comfort zone, and so I'm going to just pray and ask the Lord to help me. Lord, just ask Lord that you'll be with me today and guide me and help me as I'm and prompt me. Lord, we ask this in your name.
Amen.
Karen's going to read a verse from Ephesians.
It's from Ephesians 2:4-10. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
I chose that because on the last bit where the work is, all work is given by the Lord. Once you give your life to the Lord and ask him into your life is his.
Yes.
And he'll direct everyone to a job to do whatever it is, whether it's cleaning, making tea or whatever, that you act as a body and there's always somebody to fill the gap. And the Lord does that, it's not of our own making. I started out in 1983, and it was all because of a party. Joy's niece was having her 18th birthday party, and after the service of me at that time, and I was asked to go, and I thought, well, I don't know. Anyhow, she, I think the cakes won, and so I went. and the servant, the people were friendly, and yes, yeah, okay, yeah. And Dennis asked me on the way out, well, I see you again? I said, I don't think so. anyhow, I was back again the next week, and the next, and I'm still here. In the early days, it was fun as a new Christian because the Holy Spirit was moving. There was a lot of free churches were opening, and there was a different atmosphere altogether. And Dennis's teaching was good, as it always has been, and always is. And, always, and give him a clap. We joined a group called Praise on the Move, which was run by Roy Peacock, and just turn a page that was prompted, and we had each month had a meeting, setting the bed for the area in different churches. We had quite a few evangelists like Gene Darnell, Cameron McAlpine. And that's where we met Paul Pilley, one of the leaders. And the Lord really moved, and I was in the plumbing and decorating trade. The firm had started in 1888 by my grandfather, and I was the third generation to take it on, and we always employed people, things were not going well. It was the end of the 3-day week, and the building trade hadn't really took off, and the work was hard to come by. When it was, you were exchanging 2 pennies for 8, so not a lot of profit around, not like today. I was praying for the Lord to help, and he gave me Ephesians 4:28, which Carol will read.
Ephesians 4:28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need.
I took this that he directed me to work with their own hands and not rely on the men, and for them to be moved on. It was a big decision to make after we'd employed all those years, and it was a big thing, and I spoke to one or two people and they didn't think it was a very good idea, but anyhow I did, and I went to one of the Praise on the Move meetings, and in the afternoon meeting, Cameron Alpine was speaking, and he was speaking about giving words to people. Be very careful not to give a word unless it was from the Lord. You could really upset people and kill the faith. Such as he's saying something like, a child was going to live and it died. That sort of thing. Be aware that you can, if you give words to people, that it can really affect their lives. Yeah. And so, during the tea break, Cabernet Alpine walked along the road where he was queuing up the tea and speaking to people, and I felt the need to tell him what the Lord has told me. And he didn't say anything, he walked on. And after the evening meeting, he pulled me aside and said, "Carry on, the Lord's word is true, do what he said." Ah. He got, and I knew then that was real confirmation, because he wouldn't have done it.
No.
Anyhow, it took about 2 years for the men to move on, and really they all done well. They all started up in business of their own, and as far as I know, 200 still in business. Mm. And so it worked out well for all of us. And after that, the Lord gave me all the new work I needed to go through the working life. No problems. Mm. And it was good.
Yes.
Anyway, one day, one afternoon it was, and we were somewhere in Bedford, and I was took a breath of fresh air and was looking over a park, and Roy Hogarth stood next to him, and he said, I've just been asking the Lord how many of his people are out there, and he gave me a number, and I thought, wow, that's what I want. I want to be able to have that touch and closeness to the Lord. It really happened. And anyway, I'll show you how the Lord divided for me. One February, I was in the car going to Darlington to fetch potatoes, and I was praying to the Lord and talking about work and saying that we had got a lot to look forward to at the moment. Anyhow, I got back home. I parked on the opposite side of the road to the house, which was a public parking place, because it was my access was blocked. And unloading the potatoes, this car pulled up behind me, and the man got out and said, "Mr. Bob," and I said, "Well, yeah." And he said, "I'm just going back to Blackburn, but we've just bought a bungalow in Wimbledon. Would you be interested in decorating it for us?" And I says, "Yeah." And so off we went, and I gave him a verbal price and done the job.
Mm.
And so about 3 weeks' work, just like that, within 20 minutes. Not for now. The law was provided that way for me. About 2 years later, I was in Summerfield, and I see the lady. She was quite recognisable because she had a high hair stump, funny hair stump, which easily recognised. And so I approached her and said, "Oh, I haven't seen you since I did the bungalow." She said, "No," she said, "we've sold it and we're going back to Blackburn now." Well, I know where angels live now. I've lost the phone number. We went on a holiday in Wales into a Christian complex with you, and we had a jolly good week, and I was full of the spirit, and on the way home, I stopped for petrol. It was pouring the rain. And this little lady, I remember her now, with a yellow Macallan Bulletins and Southwester, and she was filling the car up with petrol, and she said, "It's a rotten day." And I said, "Oh, it's a glorious day." Then I think she thought, "Oh, man." Anyway, when I got home, we thought, well, we'd have fish and chips for tea, and I got the fish and chips, and I thought, "Oh, I'll get some beer." I hadn't had a glass of beer all week because it was all teetotal. And so I got the beer and got back in the car, and this man's voice came from the back of the car. "What have you got that for?" I knew who it was, and surprisingly I wasn't frightened. I think I was still in the spirit, and I was really rude to him. I said, "To drink, of course." Anyhow, he said, "You don't need that, you've got the Holy Spirit in you." So I went home, put the car in the garage and put that beer on the shelf, and that was August, and I didn't touch it until the following Christmas. That's how the Lord is so close to me. One evening we went to St. Edwin Reed, a Saturday evening, and for a meeting with a man named Mr. Lamb, and he'd done his preaching, and he got a healing ministry, and he said that so-and-so wants this healing, and some come out, and anyhow, people went out and were healed. Joy was one of them, she'd got a problem with a thigh, and she was just healed of that immediately. The next day, after the meeting. Anyhow, the next day I found out a friend who was in the fellowship, and he suffered badly from migraine, and Mr. Lamb had said, "If the person, anybody wasn't there particularly," they came up the next day to Sir Wendry's meeting, and after communion to stay at the rail. So this person and my friend went off we went. I remember stopping outside his house and putting a cigarette out and starting another one, so I was ready primed up to go through the service. I was really a heavy smoker and coughed badly. Anyhow, we went through the service and went up to the communion, and my friend went back to his seat, and I thought, "Why are you back here? You should be up there." So I went up myself to encourage him, and a young girl came along, not Mr. Lamb himself, and said, "What are you here for?" So I said, "Well, not for myself, but my grandson. He's due for operation tomorrow. He's got a hernia, and he's only a baby, and I'll come up this." She said, "Never mind about that." She said, "We'll deal with you first." So she said, "You're a smoker?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Do you want to stop?" So I said, "Yeah." So she said, "Well, get on your knees and confess it for a sin," which I did, and immediately I got a gift of tongues.
Wow.
Stopped smoking. I went home, and Joy said, "Something's happened." I said, "Yeah, I don't smoke anymore." And the only problem I had was searching in my pockets for matches. I was waiting to flag up every 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That was, you know, and I never desire to have a cigarette again. I still like the smell of them. At the end of my early life as a Christian, so I'll go back to the buildings, and Dennis's induction service was in July of 82. There was 11 founders there at that meeting, and we've got one on here today, Alan.
Yes.
He's the only one who's here, yeah. And we were meeting at that time at the University Reform for a short time, really. Because I was a chairman of the First Mass Scout, I was able to get access into the scout hall down Badgeon Road.
Do you want to sit down now, Henry?
Sorry?
Do you want to sit down?
I'm just starting on one page.
Okay.
So, they allowed us to meet Saturdays and Sundays. And so, like says, we paid our way and we cleaned the place up and kept it clean all the time we was there. They gave us the free running, and we had our own keys, and as if the place was our own. And also, they had electric heaters on the wall, which was uncomfortable for people sitting listening, because they get their heads burnt. And we put in, with the help of some of the scout leaders, the central heaters, we did that in both rooms, and we stayed there. And anyhow, we started looking for a place of our own and looked at different possibilities. And Mr. Charles Goetz, who was in the building trade, and also he was the scout commissioner for that area. And we'd known each other for years. And, when I was a scout, I knew him. And anyhow, he's a born again Christian. And he said the Lord has told me to send you a plot of land on Upwell Road, and I went to have a look at it, and it's just like, you know, it was terrible. It was covered in weeds. It was 2 feet below the park level. It needed all making up level, and tons of stuff, and if it hadn't been for the words in Lord's intention, we wouldn't be here, because we had never bought it. If it had been his will, we wouldn't have bought this land. And anyhow, we were told to pray about it. In the meantime, Mr. Goetz told us of a second plot. The Lord told me to send you the second plot, which is mostly that way, isn't it? Anyhow, we were told to pray about it. Goetz, in 1986, had consulting engineers on the land, because they intended to build on it, and it was all loose brick, and the water level was as high, and it was waterlogged and completely unsuitable for building at that time, because piling was ever so expensive, because it was done by specialist firms, whereas nowadays a builder could do it with the equipment they used. And so we told the prayer about it. Just turn a page, a plant, though the fingers don't work. Anyhow, the Lord gave me a word, and I saw 44 by 20, a verse, not a verse, that's right, that's 24 to 26. Caroline, read that.
These are the words of the Lord regarding the building work of Eliab. Isaiah 44, verses 24 to 25. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself, who forms the signs of false prophets and makes fools of diviners. Who overthrows the learning of the wise and turns it into nonsense, who says of the water deep, be dry, and I will dry up your streams, and of the temple let the foundations be laid. The Lord has spoken, and he acted on his direction.
Anyhow, I took that verse, and I thought it was right to the leaders and the members, and we accepted it. It was that, because of the Lord's Spirit in us all at that time, that we accepted it as his intention. Anyhow, I was down Green Street one day and see a bricklayer skip full of bricks, and somebody had a renovation, and I thought, oh, I wonder what the skip people do with the bricks, what they don't need. So I rang Mr. Phillips, the skip owner, up, and we agreed to meet within 20 minutes here. And anyhow, he had a look and said, well, yeah, I can do it, he said, but that'll take 2 years. And I thought, well, I don't have an option, but. So he got on with it. It took 6 weeks. lorry load after lorry load of stuff, and hundreds of tons of stuff was put here. And afterwards, it was all levelled. That prophecy said,
yeah.
"I will draw up the streams, and I will level the land by my own hand." And we had no cost.
Yeah.
It was double.
Yeah.
We covered it with gravel and stuff, and got some topsoil and landscaped it a bit, and we left it at that for quite a while. We also needed fencing. Rob and myself have just finished working on a site which had changed hands with a different builder, had a tradesman supply the raw materials, so there's a lot of excess timber laying about which the other firm had ordered. They gave us that, and we had enough to put fence jointly in. So, how many times do you think the Lord is? We had that tent event. We had a bonfire which upset the neighbours. And we thought it was a good opportunity, one bonfire night, to get rid of the... anyhow, they weren't used to anybody being here. And also we had a thistle party.
Yeah.
one summer the thistles grew that high. The neighbours complained when all the thistle down went floating over on their land. And so we had a thistle party and wandered among and pulling them up. we're still at the scale hall, and originally we had thought of having a brick building, but after a while that went off of mines, and we went on second hand mobiles. We bought two, this 5 bay one, the 3 bay one up that way, and we paid $9,500 for the two, and they were put on slate. And it was, we had £10,000 at the bank in that time, so we had £500 left. I was thinking about the siting of these buildings as worked exactly how we would have designed it. If we'd wanted the Sunday school down that passage, and the dining room where it is, if these buildings had been put in a different position, that wouldn't have been possible.
Yeah.
But we never designed it that way. We just put the buildings where they went. Again, the Lord, I'm sure, said they could go there.
Yes.
We started work on the building. You see the state of them. Awful lot of work. We had few workers, very few tradesmen. There was Alwyn and myself, and everybody was needed to work in the daytime, so we was working over in the evenings and most Saturdays, and we began to get tired, and things looked as though they were going to take years to get completed. Anyhow, a gift was made by some members, for myself, to work for 14 weeks to bring the buildings forward, which I did that, and everything had been done, and the painting of the school rooms out that way, and the kitchen, just left this room to do. But I've got to get back to work. I needed the money, and then the district council rang me up and said, we're going home and taking on two decorators who were training, and their training place had been moved to Wisbech, and they needed to travel for March, and it was not working very well. Would I finish their training? So I said, yeah, I'll do that. So we've got two men, and I've put them in here, and I've taught them how to hang paper. And they also, it's the Lord's provision again.
Amen.
Another thing, the Angler of the Water wanted £1,700 for infrastructure and putting the water mains on and the drains. Now, where Mr. Bull's caravan was, just out of the way, and shed, there was a standpipe. And because we got that standpipe, the Angler of Water decided we'd already connected, and they did it all for nothing. I did tell you about the caravan. We used the caravan to move our stuff every Sunday from the skate hall onto here, and we didn't need it anymore. After we had our last first at the skate hall, and I put the caravan outside there, ready to unload it in the week, and at 8 o'clock that Sunday night, a young man knocked on my door and he said, "We've got a caravan for sale." I said, "No." And then I thought about this caravan here, that we wouldn't need it anymore. So I rang Dennis and we agreed to sell it, and I made the price up, and the man said, yeah, I'll pay you that. And he was a young gypsy. And I said, well, I'll get it unloaded on Monday, you pick it up. No, I want it there, he said. I've been thrown out of my uncle's caravan, myself and all the wife, and we've got nowhere to live. And so I said, well, it's all full of stuff. So come back down here, and we unloaded it, and off he went. The car, the Lord's provision is everything, yeah. He provides all the buildings, all the land. By his will, that helps. We never had any money raising events. The money was always there. We put this new roof on these two buildings. The money was there. And he's kept us round about the same average amount of money in the bank. And we've been able to give money to others, to ministers, different ministries. When the speakers come here, we give them around about £200 on average. And things have worked out to the Lord's will. And the Sunday school buildings, we built the passage down that way. And as I said before, if this building had been slightly this way, you wouldn't have done it. Then we had the dining room and all the entrance stuff. At that time, there was more tradesmen in the fellowship, so I was acting as a sort of a foreman in that way. And they nicknamed me the Pharaoh. And then one Sunday about 2009, Bishop Stevens came here and spoke of Carlos and the prison ministry, and I thought, well, that's after he's finished speaking, that's up my street, because before the prison was built, we used to meet as a group, and prison ministry group, and pray for the prison, and pray for a believing chaplain, and which we got.
Yes.
At that time, and I was able to go in the prison for about 3 years. Every Tuesday used to be helping to take a Bible study. That was with the prisoners who were sex offenders and that such as that, and we worked there for about 3 years, and then we had an unbelieving chaplain come. He didn't know the Lord, and I couldn't argue with him about it because he was in authority, so I kept out of the way and left that. So anyhow, this came up, cast a group of us from under Richard's direction, and we from here and St Maidens, St Wentz, formed a steering committee, and after 2 years we wrote up a team into Whitemouth, and we always had, all over the years we've had a team here to look after them when they came back, because once you've been in there, there's no stress about them, that they needed the just about sit and relax, and which we fed them well and gave them breakfast.
I mean,
help us out of 6 every morning, and that's been going on for 10 years. And one thing about it, what made me wonder at the start, is when Richard was speaking, he said we take homemade biscuits into the prison. And give them to the prison officer and each and every prisoner there. And I thought, well, that's strange, what can biscuits do, you know? Anyhow, the first year we made through people in Cambridge, Bury Edmonds, in churches around March, we encouraged them. And we made 9,500 biscuits. and everybody got a packet, and yeah, they acted as an icebreaker. Richard once at the first Christmas went to the Christmas service and having difficulty getting in with the guard, and who are you and what are you and one thing and another, and he said, "Carlos, Peter, Carlos, the biscuit, come in." That's how the Lord has worked all my life, and out to me.
Oh, thank you.